Oh, I'll be glad when we get back where we can go to the door. You know, I can only see a few people that are right here in front of me. And I start asking, I said, well, is so-and-so still here and so forth? And because if I don't go the door, I go to all these doors every, you know, I go to a different door each Sunday. And that way I get to see a lot of you. But when I don't get to do that, then I don't get to see you, and I don't like that. I like to be able to shake your hands, and I miss giving my lollipops, or we used to call them when I was a kid. You call them suckers, but they call them lollipops now, I think, to the kids. I always like to give those to the kids. How many of y'all miss us, the staff, going to the doors? Well, we miss it too, but, you know, it says that we need to do what we need to do in the natural and keep believing God in the spiritual side. You know, the Bible says, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And so I believe if we be wise, things will work out for us. Well, you know, I want to talk about maximum living tonight. You know, on Wednesday night, I like to talk to you about just down-to-earth things that help you both spiritually and naturally. Mark Strand, an American author and poet, once said, "The future is always beginning now." And I say it like this, your future begins now. Somebody said, always look into the future. The future starts now. You know, too many people are looking for tomorrow, and it's what you do today that affects tomorrow. Each day should be a stepping stone that moves you closer to your full potential in life, both spiritually and naturally. What you do each day builds on the foundation that you set the day before. And it just keeps going and going and going. And each day, you should reach a little higher. The next day, you should go a little higher. Come on now. So I want to share tonight about reaching your full potential and experiencing maximum living. Philippians 3. I'll slow down because I didn't give the people up there a list tonight like I normally do. And so I'll give them a chance. Philippians 3:13, guys, upstairs. Philippians 3:13. The New King James says it like this, Philippians 3:13. I'm seeing how they got it. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, I sort of like the way the Message Bible says it. The Message Bible says it like this. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. We see here that Paul is pursuing to reach his full potential. He says, I'm off and running. I'm not turning back. In other words, Paul is intent on fulfilling everything that God has for him. You know, we got to realize and read. If you read Paul's life in the book of Acts, and then, of course, I've got several books on the life of Paul, and we studied about it when I was in school. That's part of some of the study, the Paulinian writings. And as we studied the Paulinian writings, we studied the life of Paul. We also studied Johannine literature, which and studied the life of John. That's an interesting study. But these men had every opportunity in the world to quit. They had everything thrown at them. Yet they kept pushing forward to reach everything, their full potential. A story. In 1873, in Dublin, D.L. Moody tells this story. For you that don't know who D.L. Moody was, go Google him and find out. He was a great evangelist. Many, many people were born again under his ministry. Anybody ever read about D.L. Moody? It's a fabulous read if you want to go study it. In 1873 in Dublin, D.L. Moody heard the British evangelist Henry Varley utter these life-changing words for him. This is what the man said. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to the Holy Spirit. Moody commented, he said man. He didn't say a great man. He didn't say a learned man. He didn't say a rich man, but he said a man. I'm a man. And it lies within man himself, whether he will or will not make the entire full consecration. I will try my utmost to be that man. And he was, if you know his life. When I was growing up, my dad would tell me, son, you can do and be anything you want to with you and God. Doesn't matter whether it's in ministry or whether it's in another field. When I was 17, the Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp, I knew I had a call on my life since I was about 11. But I didn't want nothing to do with the ministry. Nothing. I grew up in a parsonage where Brother Hagin, we was cleaning out the cellar. That's whenever we was pastoring in the farm country. And many of you people don't realize it, but the farmers all, during the spring and summer, they had fresh vegetables, but then they would can them so they'd have vegetables and during the winter. And they didn't go to the store and buy cans. They had their own. And they said, we was cleaning out the cellar, and we brought these to you, thought you might use them. Well, you open them up, they're old, they're spoiled, you know, and I'd seen so many things and saw so much. I didn't want nothing to do with the ministry at all. I'd been there, the denomination that Dad pastored in, they had the board of the church would call a meeting every year on a Wednesday night and vote to see whether you're going to be the pastor there the next year or not. That ain't no fun. And then people would vote you out and they'd say, now, we really love you and we'd really like to have you stay, but, you know, about every 3 years, we just need a change. Been there, lived it. So I wanted nothing to do with the ministry. So from 11 to 17, I walked as close to the line you could get without falling off. See, I mean, that's where I was. Because if you're a long way from God, it's hard to hear his voice. And that's where I live, from 11 till I was 17. And at Old Oak Ranch Youth Camp, I saw a film one night called Beyond the Bells. A missionary film, and a Foursquare missionary had labored 7 years, I believe it was, in Bolivia before he had his first convert. It got to weighing on me and touched my heart. Afterwards, the rest of the kids, they were all going down to the concession stand buying stuff. I said, nah, I ain't going. You guys go on. I was sitting with some girl. I don't know who it was. Remember, I'm 17. I didn't get in contact to her until I was 25. So, yeah, she was growing up because she's 6 years younger than I am. But Actually, when we have our story, but when she really started writing me when I was overseas in the Army, she said the last time she saw me, I was a senior in high school and she was a sixth grader. And she saw me drive away from the Dairy Queen there in Garland, because I went to the first assembly and her dad had come to Garland and started that. But anyway, I told him, go on. I went in the side room. I knelt down. They had bunks in there, and so you can kneel down and pray. And that's where I began to pray, and God began to deal with me. And I didn't want anything to do with it. That was on a Tuesday night, I think. So finally, on Friday night, we had the Victory Circle fire after the service out in the amphitheater, and they had a big fire. And the kids were giving testimonies, and I stood up and I said, I have received the call to go into ministry, and that's what I'm going to do. Of course, you've heard me. I preached my first sermon when I was 18. I've been called to, you know, faithful as I could be to that call. But I pursued it with everything I had, all my knowledge, all my strength. And I still pursue that to this day. I'm not satisfied. I believe that you never peak out with God. There's never retirement with God. You just keep going till you go on home. I want to give you three things tonight that I think might help you to maximize your experience in living for God and in living in the natural. First of all, find out what is possible for you to pursue. 9:23 of Mark, we know what it says. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, it's possible in life to go beyond limits. It depends on the person. Depends on how much they believe God. It depends upon how much they want to succeed. The day we live in today, if anybody wants to be a success, they can, if they're willing to pay the price. I had a coach stand before a bunch of us guys. We were ninth graders. And he said, boys, most of you have athletic ability, or you wouldn't have made it this far. But what you do with it from this point cannot depend on me as a coach. It depends on how hard you're willing to work to become the athlete that you can become. Any other guys in here heard a coach say that to them? Or ladies too, because the ladies, how many see your hands? I've heard it said to people in positions in a company, one of the main people in the company says, you have great potential, but how far you rise on the executive ladder depends on how hard you're willing to work. My father-in-law told me when I was associate pastor, he said, son, remember this. If you really want something done in the church, find the person that is volunteering the most, and you'll get it done. You see, the possibilities of life are only limited in the natural and also in the spiritual, how much work you're willing to put into it. Do you know that there are people that are born again, spirit-filled Christians, but they've never grown very much spiritually because they've never put the work into prayer, time, into reading the Word of God? They go to church, enjoy a little bit of worship, and then go on about their business. Somebody said, yes, if you've been around it, I've been in it 62 years. I've seen it many times over. Good people love God, but they're never going any further. Now, let me ask some of you a question. How many of you on a job, you've seen a person that's a good person and so forth, but that you got promoted, they have, and you've been promoted two or three times maybe, or gotten raises two or three times, they're still where they're at? Anybody ever been? The reason was they weren't willing to do what was necessary to go that next step. Am I right? Or if I'm right, wave my hand. Wave your hand at me. They weren't willing to do that next step. That's the way you can be born again, spirit filled. You can be that way in the spiritual and just whatever will be. But if you really want to fulfill potential, you've got to press toward the mark. You've got to find out what's available. If you're in a field, find out what that, or want to go, or maybe you want to go into a field. Find out what's in that field, what you can do, where you can go, what you can accomplish. I see brother, I hope he don't mind me. I see Brother Larry sitting there. He's in the insurance business. But he didn't get to own his own insurance business just by wanting to be an insurance agent. He put many hours in learning about insurance and policies and so forth and so on. My brother-in-law, that's a banker, my wife's brother, he went to school, got his banking and finance degree, worked at, I forget what restaurant he worked at. Yeah, TGI Fridays to get him through school. Then he went on to SMU and got the equivalent in banking. It's the equivalent of a PhD. I forget what they call it, but it's the higher degree. Then he went to work for the FDIC, going around, and they go around and audit banks. That's what the bank, they're the ones that keeps all the banking rules and so forth. He eventually got to be the head of that. And he said, I don't want to do this. I want to own my own bank. But finally, he had done an audit for Republic Bank in Dallas, and he's the head guy now. Right after the audit, the head man at Republic called him and said, and Republic was a big bank. This has been years and years ago. Republic was a big bank, and he called him and said, Gary, listen, we have just purchased the bank in your hometown. And I know from talking to you that you want to eventually own your own bank. And Gary said, yeah. He said, I will help you do that if you'll come and help me. If you'll, for 3 years, do the duties and the work of the executive vice president of the bank. We have to leave the other guy there. He's just a figurehead. He's not going to do anything but during the transition. I will help you. And he did that. I saw him go on vacation. He finally, eventually, the man helped him start a bank. He was on vacation in Hawaii, and he got a call from one of his guys there, one of the executives in the bank with him, and said, "Gary, the investors, this particular investor, they're trying to take over, and they're going to take the bank over." He had to leave a vacation and come home to take care of that. But today he's the president of a company, and they got 16 banks. But you see, he had to see what was in the future for him, and he took the roads necessary. As a minister, I had to see what was out there and how to get there. In the natural, you got to do the same thing. In the spiritual, you got to see what's in the Word of God for you. You got to know who you are in Christ. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, the reason that it's important to read your Bible, that helps you reach spiritual potential. But the reason it's important for you to study and learn about what's in your future in the natural, that helps you for your future in the natural, your potential. See, people have potentials in different areas. Some people have a knack in mechanics. Some people just have knacks in different areas. They've got potential in different areas. I'm sort of one of these guys. My wife says I can just about take anything. But when I was a kid, now we didn't have all the cars that had these remote controls and all that. You had to take a key and you wind it up. Anybody old enough to remember, you have a key, you wind the car up and then let it go. Well, mine quit working. I took it apart, put it back together, and it worked. I mean, I could do that. I could have went into several different areas, but God called me to this area. So when he did, I began to see what was in it here, what I had to do. I'm not up here because I'm so good. I'm up here because I watched my dad. I stand on their shoulders. I watched them. I read what other men did to get where they were in the ministry. I watched. I still watch. You see, you got to know what God wants, and you got to know what you have to do in the natural to reach your full potential. Understanding all of this, understanding from reading the Word of God, and understanding from studying in the natural, in your natural life, then it brings you to expectation. You have to have understanding before you can begin to expect anything. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You know, we have seen and read and heard about people that have risen up against all college, all obstacles, all odds, and have become the only person in their family to ever have a professional career. And they were told they couldn't do it, but they did. Glenn Cunningham burned his feet when he was a kid. Anybody ever read the story of Glenn Cunningham? He burned his feet, but he became a runner. Wilma Rudolph became an Olympic champion, and they told her she'd never do it. Why? Because they studied and realized what it was going to take to get there, and they were willing to pay the price. It is the same in the spirit as it is in the natural. If you're willing to pay the price, you'll reach it in the spirit realm. If you're willing to pay the price, you'll reach your full potential and live and maximize your life. But you know what? A lot of people said, "Oh, well, it's up to God." No, it's not up to God. It's up to you. It's up to you. You're never going to reach full potential and maximize life unless you're determined to put the past behind. Numbers 11, 4 through 6. Now, the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to the intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate in freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up, and there's nothing except this manna before your eyes." Here, the Israelites are looking back at the past and talking about what they had to eat and talking about all of this. But if you look at them, they're using selective memory. They're only remembering the food. They're not remembering the forced labor, the whips upon their back, the difficult living conditions, the demands that were put upon them to make brick without the straw. They have the potential, they're on their way. They have the potential of reaching the promised land. That was possible. But now, instead of looking forward to what's in front of them, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they'll be free to own their own property, to have their own ground, to build their own houses, they're looking back here, "Oh, we need to go back. Oh, look what we had." You can't make positive progress into what is in front of you by concentrating on what has been, even when it was good. I was 6 years with my father-in-law. I wasn't making that much. But Lynette was a hairdresser. She making five times what I was making. The Lord called us to go to work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. We went. We came and lived for 3 years on a fourth of what we had been living on because of what she made, not me. I was making $100 a week as the associate pastor. But that's all they could have paid, and that's what I felt like God had me doing, and she is willing to help me in the ministry. If she hadn't worked as a hairdresser those first 5 years, we'd have never made it in the ministry. But we were here. School had started. I'd started Rhema. I was it. They paid their tuition in my office. I dealt with all of the problems, and I had a teacher that helped me, and he quit, and I was the only teacher teaching 4 hours a day in Rhema. Some people said, "Well, you only teach a couple of classes." Yeah, I did, but where were you when I was there and I taught all four classes 4 hours a day for 9 months? Dad would come in and he would come in off the road and he might teach a week or two in the class, give me a little break, but that was it. I came home one day and I said, "Honey, Rhema is going to go if we have to hawk and everything we got." Now, those first 3 years weren't fun. Craig used to tell people that his mother and dad's favorite meal was grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup. I ate a lot of it. I still like it today. I still like grilled cheese sandwiches. But we could have looked back. But I was looking forward. I knew what could be. I'm talking about me a lot tonight, but you don't want me to use you for example, do you? I see some of you say, "No, no." Maybe I'll use Tony, I don't know. I'll tell you a good example right on our staff, Brother Bill. Brother Bill was an executive with FedEx. They tried to get him to come to Memphis to really go up the ladder. And he kept telling them no. He was teaching here in one of the School of Bible classes and so forth. And finally, I told Lynette, I said, we need another associate, and I feel like the Lord would have me to talk to Bill. But, hon, there is no way I can even come close to the salary that he's making and the perks that he has. But I said, I'm going to talk to him anyway. So Lynette and I took him out to, it was right before Christmas. It was in December, about 2 weeks before Christmas, I believe. And we talking and ate, and I finally said, well, Bill, the reason we have you here, I can't match what you've got, but I got a position, and I'd like for you to pray about it. And I told him the position and all the particulars. I never will forget this. And I almost fell out of the chair. He said, I don't have to pray about it. I'll turn in my resignation January 1, and I'll be with you on February 1. Didn't you do it, Bill? But you see, he was making it in that world. But God was talking to him about something else. See, you may be making it in one area, and God may be talking to you about something else. And then you may be trying to get started and trying to have a ministry when God don't want you to have a ministry. He wants you to do something else. Come on now. I trust y'all understand what I'm talking about. See, if you want to maximize your life, you have to be happy in the natural, and you got to be happy in the spiritual. I have never seen anybody yet that was unhappy in the natural that was very happy spiritually, because we are a two-part being, a spirit being and a natural being. And those two parts work together. I don't know whether you realize it or not. Some people come to me and say, oh, I'm just miserable. I get to talking to them, and I find out they're miserable because they don't like what they're doing. And I ask them, why are you doing it? Well, I don't know. I'm serious. I had people say, I said, what do you like to do? Well, I like this. I said, why don't you go get in that area? Well, it takes some study in it. I said, is it worth it? And I've seen those people go do that. And then the minute they got happy in the natural, I see them over in the church volunteering, being involved in the church. And beforehand, they just sat on the pew, looked like the cat had stole all of their food. Sat there. Pray the Lord. Why? You can't be happy in the spiritual if you're not happy in the natural, and you can't be happy in the natural if you're not happy in the spiritual. They work together. You're a two-part being. And so that's why I'm talking to you about spirit and natural. Come on. You know, we've got to forget about the good, the bad, and the... Paul had to forget. He said, forgetting about what's behind. Do you realize what Paul was forgetting about? He was forgetting about that he stood there and told the people, throw rocks harder as they stoned Stephen. He had to forget about that he started the first mega church there ever was in Ephesus. Go read about it. He had to forget about all that. He said, I forget about it all, and I press on. Pursue every opportunity that you have. I don't know who Grandma Moses was, but she said this. It's what it says. Grandma Moses, quotes, youryourquotes.net. Life is what we make it. always has been, always will be. Life is what we make it. Always has been and always will be. It's still coming back to you. Spiritually and naturally, it comes back to you. It's not up to God. He works through people. He doesn't just work through out here and jump up. You look in the Word of God. See, everybody wants to talk about ministry. Hey, Abraham never preached a message, but he was successful spiritually and naturally. Hello. Rahab was a success. She never preached a message. There's David become a king, but there's never anything said about him preaching any messages or being minister. He was a king. He was in natural. I'm talking about natural. See, now Peter was in the natural, and then God called him over to be in the spiritual. See, what we need to realize, you walk with God. Ooh, I'm past time. I'm sorry. You walk with God and get the full potential and maximize in both areas of your life. Anybody get what I'm talking about tonight? Hey, how many of you know how to ride a bicycle? I do. You know what? Life is like riding a bicycle. You don't fall off unless you stop pedaling. And that's the way life is. If you keep pedaling, you'll keep reaching new destinies, new and maximizing your life. But if you quit peddling, oh, well, this is pretty good. You'll fall off, and that's as far as you're ever going to get. Most of us that are, we probably hadn't ridden a bicycle. Some of you have. Some of you ride. I know Ben back there, he rides. Still rides. He's doing thumbs up. How many of you ride a bicycle? So I got to know we got a lot of people that go out and ride bicycles. I got one. I hadn't ridden it in years, but I could go out and ride it. I might be a little wobbly at first, but if you've ever ridden it once, you can pick it right back up. What I'm saying to you, if you're one of those that just sort of stop pedaling in life and just sort of sitting there, hey, get back on and start pedaling. I don't know whether I helped you tonight or not. I really just talked out of my heart trying to help you. You know, take time to plan ahead. Take time to outline steps, both spiritually and naturally. You know, take time to reflect on your progress. You know, the former First Lady, Barbara Bush, said this: you don't just luck into things as much as you'd like to think you do. You build step by step, whether it's friendships or opportunities. Make sure you're making progress and not just standing still, running in place. You know? So, as best you can, be persistent, both in the natural and in the spiritual. There's an old proverb that says, "He who says it cannot be done should not stand in the way of the person doing it." Heavenly Father, tonight I just talked to these people out of my heart. Realizing that we all can become satisfied And yet that's not what you want us to do. You want us to keep growing in the natural, and you want us to keep growing in the spiritual. And may each of us never be satisfied, but may we continue to move forward. And may we live a good, maximized life. You said you wanted us to have life and have it more abundantly. And many people think it's up to you. But as you study the Word, we find out it's up to us whether we really live that abundant life or not. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust everybody stand. I trust you got something out of this tonight. I realize it wasn't one of them sermons that's going to make you run and shout and jump and dance. It wasn't a sermon that gives you a lot of inspiration. But I tell you what, there was a lot of information there that if you use it, it can be the launching pad. How many got anything out of this tonight? Good. Praise the Lord.